Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Okay, well, here we are, All About Wine on February the 22nd, 2024, live, 7:02. Sorry I was a minute late. I was trying to get the thing set up. Mike and I have been talking. We had a guest tonight, and he canceled for tonight. He's he's in Bordeaux, and it was awkward for him to come on at 7 o'clock our time, Eastern time here, because it would put him like in the middle of the night. And he said there was no place for him to do the conversation without making noise and waking up the baby. Okay, so that was the word I got. And he asked if we can reschedule sometime where he can talk to us in the later afternoon Bordeaux time, which would be morning our time, not early morning, but later morning. So we said okay, but the problem is that Mike who is not with us tonight. Mike works during the week. He has himself a 9-to-5, and so he's tied up that. And then Saturday mornings I do taxes, and I am tied up on that, and so that only leaves Sunday morning. So I've been corresponding with Mike. He says, fine, Sunday morning works, but I haven't heard back from our guest if he is able to do it this Sunday morning. If he is, then you can tune into a Sunday morning. We will be doing a live broadcast then, and then we will be replaying it, but not next week. 29th, we have a guest on the 29th, and so we will be not playing the new show, not this Sunday morning show again on the 29th. We will be playing it in March sometime, but I am starting to get guests booked for March, so I don't know when we're going to be doing it, but it will be there. We will have Giles. He's made a movie, and I'm look forward to talking to him about it. So that's why we don't have a guest night. You got me tonight. You got me for a short, for a while tonight. I'm not gonna. I really wasn't ready for this because we were corresponding. We thought we were going to not do this show tonight and go Sunday morning, but we don't know what's happening Sunday morning for sure, so we're not going to do that one. So I decided I'd go ahead and hook up onto this show tonight and talk for a while and talk about some of the news and stuff I've seen and heard around and in the wine industry and make some comments and just give you a short show here on All About Wine. What do we got coming up here? Okay, today is the 22nd, which is National Chili Day. And, I love it. My wife makes a great pot of chili. She actually makes two great pots of chili, and we feast off of one for a few days. She takes the other one, and she freezes it, and then we have it for a later date, which is fantastic. So, that is National Chili Day. I have wine with my chili, but I usually have something light and usually red because she makes hers pretty bold. So I usually have a red, but depends on what style your chili's in. I suppose you can have something lighter, but I usually go Pinot Noir, and sometimes I'll do Cabernet, and sometimes, you know, these are not heavy, strong, powerful wines, but the ones I choose are lighter, but it usually goes well with the chili. Tomorrow, National Banana Bread Day. Oh, I love a good banana bread, and I haven't had one in a long time. National Banana Bread Day. Again, something light on your wine. Saturday, National Tortilla Chip Day. And this could be fun. Depends on what dips you got. Guacamoles or any type of sauces or anything you do on there. Match your wine to your sauce, not to the tortilla chips. And you can have yourself a good old time. Also, beer, I suppose, go good with tortilla chips. Sunday is Quiet Day, which I suppose that would be good for any wine. You can just drink wine and do it. Monday, Carpe Diem Day. Just seize the day. Again, any wine you want. Tuesday, Big Breakfast Day. And hey, most people don't think about wine with breakfast, but you can. Mimosas, you know, you can do yourself a mimosa. You can do yourself a Moscato. You can even a Gewurz, something light and fruity. And it would go well, I think, with some breakfasts, any type of breakfast. So try that. And Wednesday is Global Scuse, Scuse, S-C-O-U-S-E, Global Scuse Day. And it's a, what does it say here? I'm having trouble reading this, probably because these glasses are scratchy. Liverpudlian stew. Which has many variations. So it's a stew with lots of variations. Get yourself some wine. I'd go red with that too. And have yourself a stew. So there you go. That is some food to match up with your wine drinking for this coming week. And enjoy some wine. I wanted to comment. Too bad Mike's not here. I wanted to comment with him. But I had been seeing a lot of stuff, a lot more stuff than I would expect to, about dry January. Yeah, the phenomenon where you don't drink at all during January, you forego beers and wines and spirits and all that stuff. And I've seen a lot of stuff talking about it. It seems to be a bigger movement than I really expected it to be or anticipated. I just heard about it, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing a bunch of stuff. After it's over, I'm starting to see a whole bunch of stuff about dry January, which seems odd that they'd start publishing it more after it's over than before it was on. I guess people aren't too excited about promoting it. But dry January, it's they said that the millennials are grasping it more so than anything. They are looking at doing less drinking and sobering and cleansing. And they said that not drinking for a month can help cleanse the system. Yeah, I suppose. But I don't know. And they said that the reason for cleansing the system in January, it's the winter time and all that. It's a good time to do it after the holidays and everything. So dry January is really starting to catch on a lot more than I would have anticipated or thought possible. But it's out there, and it's something that we guess we're going to have to start looking at each year as something coming up here. Dry January, though, it's still seems very odd to me. But it's, I guess it's going to be a thing that we're going to have to deal with and going to have to look forward to each year. Look forward to it? Well, I don't know about looking forward to it, but something that we will have to look at each year. I've got some little bit of stories for you. Let me look up my page here for my stories about the wine industry. And wait a minute, is the one? Yeah, okay, here we go. Just odds and ends here. I'll tell you about, and then when I get tired of telling you about it, we'll end the show. Organic wine fraud coming out of European Union. The police have seized assets worth over €500,000 in an investigation that the producers sought EU funds to convert to organic grape growing. And they're not. They were just getting the funds so that they can say that they were going to grow grapes. I didn't know there was funds available for it. There probably isn't here in the United States. But in Europe, Italy anyway, I guess Europe. In Italy, they do have a fund that you can apply for and get backing for your organic wines. Well, they have seized assets. Oh, don't block me out again. Okay. They have seized assets worth more than €520,000. Yeah, I guess so. That little sign. Then they got another little sign of something else. The company is operating in the wine sector, whose legal representatives attested that it had carried out the conversion to organic methods of cultivation in order to receive the co-financed money. But upon further investigation, they have found that, no, they are not doing anything to pursue the organic labeling or try to get the their vineyard. They never mentioned the vineyard, which is probably a wise thing. But they said that they didn't do anything to try to get the vineyard organic. Although Italy is saying is nearly one-fifth of the total vineyard area is now organic, according to the European Commission's Wine Market Observatory, as of December 2023. And says since 2012, 138% jump in organic vineyards in Italy has taken place. So Italy is really starting to grasp this. But obviously when you start doing stuff like that, it is open to abuse, and that's exactly what happened. This opened it up for abuse this time. Let's see. Like I say, I'm going to be looking for some articles here. I did that last week too, didn't I? Will we start seeing more fine wines on the screw cap? Is it going to be a thing for a screw cap now? They are improving the closures. They are improving the closures on screw cap quite a bit. I mean, it's quite a lot of research going into it. And it's something that a lot of wineries tend to be going to screw cap. This article here says the findings may go some ways to changing attitudes about the use of screw caps. Those attitudes are the fact that wineries are actually using it for long-term storage. They're finding that it's not doing much to the wine. In fact, it is storing it quite well. I heard something, and whenever I see screw cap for long-term storage, I saw something. This was, Well, 2015. Because I still had the winery going, and it was in 2015. I read a couple of articles, and I heard a podcast, and quite a bit of stuff about the fact that screw caps for long-term aging, they were testing them in Australia quite a bit for long-term aging at the time. I heard that screw caps would increase the level of SO2 in the wine. How that works, I had no idea. I didn't see anything in how it could or why it should increase the SO2, but they were finding that as the wine aged, they would test the SO2 when they would open it, and the SO2 had jumped up considerably. If you're looking for it, you can taste it. It can jump up quite a bit, and most people won't notice it. But the SO2 was jumping up quite a bit with screw caps. And screw caps don't air. They don't do exchange of oxygen, whereas corks do. And I've had people tell me that that's not true, but I honestly think it is true that corks do an exchange of oxygen. Slowly, very, very slowly, but it does happen. That's why a lot of times when you have wines that are being aged for a number of years, and I'm talking, 100, 120 years or so, partway through that aging process, they will replace the cork and pull out the old one, little squirt of nitrogen on top of the wine so it's not having air sit on it, and put a new cork into it. It happens, and you say, no, they don't do that. Yeah, they do. I've talked to people, and I know for a fact. So, but if screw caps are creating a higher SO2 levels, again, I don't see how or why, but I heard that. I haven't heard anything since then, though, which is, it makes me tend to believe that maybe it's not true if they... some reports, maybe just some reports out by people who are trying to get away from screw caps and finding something wrong with them, which, it happens whether we want to admit it or not. But the ideal closer type of wine could vary from vintage to vintage, actually, depending on the grape varieties and the blends and things like that. So screw caps could be used in the right... right situation. Scientific evidence proves that a screw cap would give the best results for your wine, whether it's an $8 one or an $80 one. Winemakers need to take notice of this. People, I don't think it's the winemakers so much. It's the acceptance of people. And that is the main thing. Fine wine, people are just not ready to look at a fine wine, one that they're spending $50 and up, or $120 or whatever, and find that it has a screw cap on it. Brands, all sorts of different brands are doing it. More part to them. I don't have a problem with the screw cap. One of the reasons is I have read statistics, and I guess this is true, but the percentage of wines, I think, is like 90% or 95%, something like that. The percentage of wines that are consumed within the first 30 days is up like 90%. People buy their wine, they take it home, and they drink it. Very few, if any, wines are actually put away and stored. People buy wines and drink it. And even the ones that are costing more money, they'll buy them for a special occasion, they'll take them home, and they'll drink it. So a screw cap is not going to hurt anything. It's aged it. Not particularly acid, but it's sealed it for the length that it needs to seal it, and that's it. So, you know, I like I say, I don't have a problem with screw cap. I need to get a hold of, I just had her name. The Las Vegas Wino. That's her website. I'm not saying that. But she is so dead set against screw caps, it's not even funny. I need to get a hold of her and see if we can't get her back on the show and see what she says about screw caps again now since it's been a while. But it, at the moment, screw caps are associated with no aging and easy drinking young wines, and that's the attitude that people have. And it really needs to be reexamined by the public. New wines are easier to introduce with screw caps because the product is still not on the market, but the screw cap will continue to be imposed, if you will, not only in the mid-range wines, but also in more expensive ones, they're saying. It's not something that's going to go away. This is something that we're going to start seeing more and more of, a screw cap, and it's going to start popping up in wines that you would least expect it. A lot of times when the capsule is around it, and they do put capsules on screw caps, a lot of times when the capsule is around it, you can't tell it's a screw cap till you get home and go, oh, wow, look at this. This is a screw cap on this wine. And you pop it open and it's okay. So they're saying basically on this article, though, a new generation is coming that wants to go beyond tradition. And they always blame the millennials and Gen Zs. Well, not the millennials, the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys. The consumer is increasingly looking for the comfort of opening wine without a special device. Anytime, any place, regardless of whether the wine is fine or not. Well, you know, that attitude, put it in a can, put it in a box, put it in anything. I mean, you know, but, you know, it's basically what the article says at the end here. It's time to let the wine stall decide the closure. Yeah, maybe. It's, but what particular wine style you're going to say, well, this really does dictate a screw cap. I don't think I've ever done that on a bottle of wine that I've opened. I don't think I've ever said, wow, this really should have been a screw cap. It's an ongoing debate, and it will continue to be an ongoing debate, I think, for as long as we have wine, as long as we have screw caps. It's not going to change. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. How Europe's wine regions are coping with climate change. What does this say they're doing? Vitosphere. Okay, green cliff. It says the climate around the Mediterranean rim is changing. Well, it's changing all over the world. Winemakers in France met with students, and they all recounted how it has changed so much in France. Storms, frost, hail, drought. And they said the summer of 2017 was the turning point. It lasted through to November with several days at 45 degrees Celsius. I can't teach myself a quick conversion of Celsius to centigrade or to Fahrenheit because, you know, I just sort of guess. What I do is I double Celsius and then add half of it back in. So 45 would be 90 and then another 20 into it. We're looking at 110 degrees plus there. I guess that might be a good way to do it, but I don't know. But it's an issue that the climate change is affecting everybody in different areas, especially areas around the Mediterranean, because they're getting a lot of hot weather, a lot of summer hot weather. Okay. The world's most wanted Syrah. Yes, it's got a Z on it. That has to be Australian. But yeah, the most one is Syrahs. Penfolds Grange Bin 95 Australian Syrahs. And score of 96 points, and it's only $629. I bet you that won't have a screw cap. They've got one on this list at 91 points, only $35. Is Stefano Amerighi Syrahs from Cortona. But you've got the Rhone, Australia, Rhone, Cortona, Rhone, and South Australia. So, and they range anywhere from 629 down to 35. Most of them are in the 100, though, upper 100. Well, not all of them. Quite a few there. They're higher. So, expensive Syrah. I don't know. It's hard for me to justify paying $100 even for a Syrah. There are some great ones. I don't think you can get them. Well, I won't advertise on the Syrah. People love them, and more power to them. It is a good wine. There's no question about that. Okay, let's see. The Sonoma County Barrel Auction honors wine industry's trailblazers. Alaska Beverage Board is being sued by breweries and wineries. They filed a lawsuit Tuesday, and then this is new news, against the Alaska Alcohol and Beverage Control Board, alleging that entertainment restrictions faced put them at unconstitutional disadvantage against bars and other establishments. Interesting approach. Come on. This goes in. This is Anchorage Daily News, and so I have to click through the stuff that's required here to get to it. 21-page lawsuit filed in Anchorage Superior Court threatens to continue the conflict between businesses that an alcohol bill approved by the legislature in 2022 was designed to end. That bill loosened some restrictions on January 1st for tap rooms and breweries and distilleries, including allowing them to hold a limited number of live events after previously barring them from doing any live events. The case now names Joan Wilson, who is the director of Alaska Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, as a defendant. I love that. Alaska Marijuana Control Office. Alcohol and marijuana. All right. Wilson cannot be reached for a comment. The plaintiff, Zip Kombucha, an Anchorage company, can't offer live entertainment games to its venues without first receiving a permit from the officer's director and paying a $100 application fee or more. Licensees are limited to 4 entertainment events annually in the tasting rooms where alcohol is served. Bars, restaurants, and campus pubs need to have more flexibility to be able to have music and entertainment on their premises, the lawsuit said. 3 classes of alcohol retail license are not required to obtain a live music permit, nor do they face restrictions on the number of entertainment events they can provide. But breweries and wineries are restricted. So they are suing to get their equal number of events and to do it. Under the 21st Amendment, states have a right to regulate alcohol as they see fit as long as it does not interfere with interstate commerce. So these states a lot of latitude for how they decide to do it. So the state's saying, no, you can't do this. And the people are suing because they said that's not right. So there you go. If I see more on that, I will let you know. I don't know, the Anchorage News here is hard to navigate through. Let me see if I can get out of it. Yeah, there we go. Florida lawmakers one vote from allowing bigger bottles. Oh, remember I told you about bigger bottles a few months ago, I think, in Florida. It is not good public policy to criminalize the sale of wine based on the container size. Yeah, really. After years of pressing the matter with poor results, P-O-U-R, Lighthouse Point Republican Representative Chip LaMarca may soon pop Florida's cork on wine container sizes. Legislation to allow bigger bottles in Sunshine State is closer than ever. House lawmakers unanimously approved it, and to allow restaurants and retailers to sell wine in glass containers in 4, 5, 9, 12, and 15 liters. Oh, that's a pretty big jug. 1 week after identical bill, Senate bill by a Panama City senator cleared its final committee and continued there. So, for the first time since LaMarca originally proposed the change in 2021, both the Senate and the House versions of legislation have reached the floors of their respective chambers. Well, let's see if it happens. Florida statutes today prohibit commercial sale of wine in bottles larger than 1 gallon or a reusable 5.16 gallon containers. A gallon is about 3.8 liters. You know, I said 3.875. You know. Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Several years, they've worked very hard to get the wine across the finish line and into the state of Florida. So, people are supporting it. Maybe, just maybe, we can get wine in larger containers. We're restricted. I go down, what is it? Oh, geez, I'm getting old and I can't remember things. The brewery around here, Storm? No, I don't know. Yeah. Storm Brewery. You can find your favorite beer and have it put in a container and take it home. Well, we do it every once in a while, but the problem is it's limited on the size of the container you can use, and so it runs out pretty fast. You don't want it to sit there too long anyway, but it runs out pretty fast. So looks like this might change. This is just for wine or is this for beer also? Wine, I guess it's wine, just wine. Let's see, wine bottle sizes, wine bottles, wine container sizes, wine containers. You know, nothing about beer, just wine. That's okay. You know, wineries can start selling it to people in wine or in big bottles and have them bring the bottles back, charge them so much for the bottle, and if they bring it back, then get a refill, or they can turn it in and get their money back. That's a way to do it. So, if you listen to the show, what was it, last week or the week before last, Stephen Castles was on. We have been corresponding about, it was last week, we've been corresponding about getting a couple people he knew onto the show. One of them was the Korean lady that was helping with that. He sent me the email twice, and twice it has not came through, which is really strange. It just, he goes, here it is again, and then it wasn't there. But I've looked up a couple from New York that he works with that does all Native American grapes. And he sent me an email saying that he has talked to them about me. So they will be on the show whenever we can get arrangements there. That won't be too far off, I'm sure. But I don't know what brought that up. I just thought of that now. Let's see. This red wine was written off. Now it's making a comeback. Let's see which one this is. Now it's making a comeback. For a while, the demise of California Syrah was particularly, no, it wasn't. You know, it's always been around. People would drink Syrahs forever. And this is the San Francisco Chronicle, and I do subscribe, but I don't know the number of my subscription, so I can't. I really need to get that looked up. But they're saying Syrahs. Yeah, no, it's not Syrahs. They say it's making a comeback now. Tablas Creek. I subscribe to their website, and they do a organic Syrahs. So okay, let's see what else we got here. Virginia Wine Expo is coming up. A date, I'll tell you, for anyone who might want to attend the Virginia Wine Expo is March the is running from this Friday, wow, tomorrow, to March the 3rd. About a week? Most of them don't run for a week. That's strange. The Virginia Wine Expo. The main event, the Grand Tasting, where visitors stroll Main Street Station and taste as many tipples as they can, will be held Saturday, March the 2nd, and Sunday, March the 3rd. Creator and Executive Director Alex Papajohn says this is still the best bang for your buck. Choose one of three sessions, and your $85 ticket gets you 4 hours of sips from 26 Virginia wineries and 14 Virginia distilleries. Well, that's not a bad deal. $85, and you have a 3-hour session to go around and sip as much as you want. They, you know, you can buy two sessions if you want, I'm sure, but 4 hours. No, I said 3 hours. It's three sessions, 4 hours. So that's plenty of time. If they don't have, well, I'm sure they have crackers or something there at the tables, but if they don't, take some with you, throw it in your backpack or something. But you have 26 Virginia wineries, 14 Virginia distilleries, plus additional wines from Italy and Oregon and around the world, along with cider, mead, specialty food, and artisan products. And about half the vendors are new this year. There you go. If you live around Virginia, if you live on the East Coast, that might be worth a trip over there. That's going to be next, the 2nd, 3rd is Saturday and Sunday. So that's next week. That's a good deal. You can buy a Saturday VIP ticket that gets you into the noon to 4 session at 11 a.m. And that's only $110. It also beats the crowds, but it's they show a picture over here at the Expo Hall, and it's just a hall with winery set up on either side. It looks like it's could be pretty crowded, and you know, it's almost worth that extra money to get in and do it early. The Virginia Wine Expo is really 10 days of events that take place across the city. There are seminars, lunches, dinners, and theme tasting events. A new event this year that is certain to sell out is the Tequila Bomba at Conejos with Chef Danny Mina on Friday. That's $129. The dinner will feature a curated selection of tequilas, mezcals, wine, and cocktails alongside Mina's Mexican cuisine. Oh, my gosh. Talking about a bellyache after that. That should be interesting. And let's see what else they've got going on here. A lot of Virginia wines, and they're going to bring in a couple of regions, Italy and Oregon. And that will be the thing this year. They always try to bring in different regions. There will be lots of wines from Italy and Oregon to sample. Plus, you'll see these regions are highlighted in special events. So they have things going on there. You can purchase tickets for different things. The Global Sparkling and Champagne Celebration at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture on Saturday features more than 50 different champagnes from around the world, with the focus on Prosecco alongside artisan Italian products influenced by cuisine from 21 Spoons. That's $135 a ticket. Now you're starting to get into the money. $135 here, $85 there, $110 there. It could get quite expensive before it's all over. But think of all the wine you can taste for those prices, though. It really, best thing about it is you don't have to go around and buy all those wines. You can taste everything and make notes and all that. And if you go, be sure you take notes. That's really one of the keys to it. One of the big events that they do on this, though, is the Virginia is Oyster Eat at Main Street Station. And that's on Thursday, February 29th. That's next week from today, from 6 to 9:30. It's $119. And it's a night of oyster dishes and shellfish paired with wines, scotches, rum, and cocktails from Chesapeake Bay Distillery. Wow. And if wine dinner sounds a little late for you, try the convivial long table lunch at the barn at Oakdale on Sunday. That's from 12:30 to 2:30. That's only $120. Oh, a dollar more than the other one, actually. You'll get a multi-course lunch from 21 Spoons paired with Italian and Virginia wines in a rustic, scenic venue. And all the funds go to the Richmond Metropolitan Habitat for the Humanities. And they have package deals. So you can check out more at Virginia Wine Expo, onebiglongword.com, Virginia Wine Expo. And it'll show you. And all events, they say, include a Stolzel crystal wine glass to keep. So there you go. Lots of food, lots of fun, and lots of drinking. But isn't that what wine festivals are all about? And they've got also all bunch of other stuff there also. Richmond Times Dispatch. Now this is starting to bounce around on me, showing me other stuff. I finished that article and wants me to subscribe. $1 for 3 months, so that's a pretty good deal. But then you get hooked in and you don't unsubscribe. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see. Nolo. I'm hearing more and more about that too. This article says Nolo, wine's final frontier. No, say it isn't so. The rise of no and low alcohol wines, or Nolo, comes hand in hand with the increase of those seeking a healthier life, hence the big deal with Dry January. It says the benefits of a traditionally alcoholic beverage without alcohol are huge. For those with addiction issues or who are simply taking a break from alcohol, it can psychologically offer the placebo-like adult sophistication of an alcohol beverage without the assorted health risk. I really have an issue with the low alcohol or no alcohol. A lot of these really do have a little bit of alcohol in it. And I have had friends over the years who were alcoholics who actually attended meetings and were proud of their sobriety, if you will. And they, actually one of them I played golf with, and he says, I love the smell of beer, but I know that I can't drink it because just one drink and I won't stop. And I think that's why I have an issue with this low alcohol and no alcohol. It's got, I don't know, I've heard that low alcohol and no alcohol still contain some alcohol in it. So, now, I don't know. Maybe now they're getting it to the point where there is no alcohol in it. Maybe they can pull it all out or not do it. People come into the wine me all the time and say, do you have any no alcohol wine? I say, it's called grape juice. You can go down to the street now. I was being smart, I like it. But it's becoming quite a thing here. This, said that the Geisen group in Marlborough, Australia, now incorporates 6 wines in their 0% range. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris, Riesling, Rosé, Merlot, and recently they got a Sparkling Brut. They also launched a vegan-friendly, no-alcohol Sauvignon Blanc. Vegan-friendly? They're vegan anyway. What do you mean vegan-friendly? Yeah, I don't know. But it's within the low-alcohol sector, it says, we also have Geisen Pure Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris, and Merlot, which is 6% ABV. 50% less alcohol and 45% less calories. 6% still, you know, a lot of wine or a lot of beers out there are not 6%. So, I don't know. Well, I guess I'm going to have to buy one sometime and try it and see if it's got the character and the quality into it. See how much alcohol actually adds to the wine. I never considered wine without alcohol before, and you know, maybe it's good. Talked to someone at the Schmidt-Schön winery in Germany's Moselle Valley, and they've got a non-alcoholic zero Chardonnay, and it says, it's a young and growing category, and our competitive advantage in the market is quality. Here in Germany, we've been making de-alcoholized wine dating back to the early 1900s. Jeez, I didn't realize it's been that long. But I don't know. I'm gonna read this article. It's a long article. Jeez, this thing is really long. I just saw it. I'll have to read this article and let you know what it says. And next chance I get, NOLO. It's a new category that I think I have. Well, I don't know. All right. Maryland Wine Experience. While we're talking about wine, here's another one coming. Maryland Wine Experience. The Maryland Wineries Association is planning its second Maryland Wine Experience, showcasing the best of Maryland wines. It's scheduled for Saturday, April the 6th at the Graduate Annapolis in Annapolis, Maryland. And its organization represents Maryland wineries. And they've got hands-on seminar, learn about why wine blends are so important, and create your own blends. And sessions will also include panel discussions. And from 11 to 12:30, you will have an oyster and wine master class, which is learn about oysters, how they contribute to the bay, and the flavors that different oysters present, other wines that pair well with these oysters. And then at 12:30 to 1:30, explore local restaurants and take advantage of your on-site trophy room. And then what else? 1 to 3, the Art of Mixology and Maryland Craft Beverages. And then also 1:30 to 3:30, Master Class of Italian Varietal Wines. And then the Grand Tasting, 3:30 to 7. And tickets will range from $30 to $150 for the full program. So you can, early bird pricing is through February 29th. So you got a week from today. But that comes up. Let's see what the tickets. I'll click on this link and see what it says there. A Maryland Wine Experience, April the 6th at Annapolis, Maryland. April 6th to the 11th is, April the 6th at 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. No refunds. Be sure you can make it. 8 hours, and it just breaks it down to all sorts of classes and everything you go to for the ticket price. Where's the price of the tickets? You know, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. No classic response. I don't know. But that's coming up in Maryland on April the 6th. So if you can't make the one to Virginia this coming, well, in a couple of weeks. Oh, here you go. $30 to $150, depending on, I guess, what the events are and what you're going to. But let's see. What did they say how many was there? This is the second annual. Let's see if we get a idea of the numbers. No, it doesn't. So I was going to say if it cuts off at a certain amount, then, but it doesn't say. So Maryland wine tasting. You got the Virginia one and you got the Maryland one. All right, let's go back to tasting Maryland. Okay, let's go to the next one and see what we got here. Australia's largest wine region. The growers there say that the prices have dropped to early 1970 rates. Could not be good. What they'll do on that is they'll destroy a bunch of grapes. It's happened before. They'll destroy a bunch of grapes just so that the remaining grapes is going to cost more. That's a dangerous thing when it starts dropping that much. Okay, let's see. Oh, is this another one here? Oh, okay. Here we go. Another tasting. This is the Michigan Wine Collaborative. It is excited to announce that from May the 17th to the 19th. It is, well, we got 2 months away. Almost 2.5 months away. Over 2.5 months. May 17th to the 19th, Detroit is set to be the center for the Taste Michigan wine tasting. The Taste Michigan Invades the D is what they're calling it. A 3-day extravaganza, fusion of local flavors, exquisite wine, and unparalleled experience. Climax of the weekend unfolds on May 18th at Commercial Park, where Michigan Wine Collaborative, Vintage Michigan Wine Club, and Taste Michigan partners with Uncork Me Michigan Wine Festival. There'll be a gathering of 30 wineries, all within the stadium, for tasting and savoring and celebrations. Concludes on May 19th with the Royce Annual Michigan Wine Expo. Let's see, what else does that have to say about it here? Experience the best that Michigan has to offer in the world of wine and culinary arts by securing your tickets at Taste Michigan. Let me click on Taste Michigan and see how much the tickets are on this. Sign in. I don't know what my password is. They do that. Microsoft does this. And let me see if it's this. Wrong password. Well, I can't get there. So much for trying to tell you how much the tickets are. I have no idea how much the tickets are. And it won't let me get in there to tell you because it's in Microsoft. And actually, it was my wife's getting into it, and I couldn't get into it. So it's opportunity to revel in a weekend of unparalleled indulgence and create lasting memories with friends and fellow enthusiasts. So that's coming up in May 17th and 18th. See if I can't find the price on that for you. So, all right, there we go. We have 3 minutes left. It's a good time to close the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Let's go back to it and see if we can find. There we go. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Mike has his radio show on every day, every 24 hours a day. Flightlineradio.com. You can tune into that and listen to music streaming all the time, or listen to him on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon, and you get a repeat of this show at noon, and then after that, you have the 1st and 15th, which is a hilarious conversation between a couple of the guests we've had on the show, Phil and Cap. So all that stuff is coming up this weekend and every weekend. And we will be back next week with a guest, Giles, who is of winery. So we will see everybody next week. Be safe out there. Take care of yourself and have a good week and drink safely. We'll see you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.